EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merger 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Did we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And a dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
Let's not take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the show, wherever in the world you are listening from. How are you all doing this week? I'm Nick Hunter and this is the UFO Chronicles podcast. Rosie is our guest this episode, coming to us from Florida in the US. And Rosie has had UFO and ET contact from a young age, starting at 8 years old. At that same time, she developed the ability to see spirits, also encountering intelligent blue and white glowing balls of light, time distortions, and various other unusual phenomena. Rosie up next. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal. And if you like, you can set up monthly reoccurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. Hello, Rosie. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for welcoming me.
Thank you for joining us today. And you're calling from Florida in the US?
Yes.
That's great. Now, Rosie, you have several UFO and paranormal experiences to share. Would you like to start at the beginning, please, ma'am?
Yeah, it started when I was 7. Actually, it started when I was 8. And I was outside with my parents. And the sighting I had at that time kind of triggered a lifelong experiences with beings that at the time I didn't know were not from Earth. I thought they were just part of our everyday lives. And as I got older, I realized they weren't. But I saw what I can only describe as a mothership in the sky. For some reason, other people didn't understand what I was trying to tell them when I was little, what I was seeing. But me and my friend at the time that were outside, we saw it. And we tried to explain to our parents that what they were seeing was different from what we were seeing. And it was shortly after that, I had awoken inside a ship. And I don't know if it was the same ship or not. It was your typical UFO saucer. And I woke up in a type of pod. I don't know how to explain it, but it was like these pods that were part of the wall. I could see there were other people in there, and it looked like they were sleeping or in some kind of suspended animation. I'm not sure why only I woke up and everybody was still looked like they were sleeping. I managed to somehow, it's like when I woke up, the pod opened. It was like it knew I was up. And so the door opened and I climbed out. And I was still young at this time. I was still 8 years old. And it was only shortly after seeing that ship in the sky. And so I walked down a corridor and it was kind of dark. It wasn't terribly dark, but it certainly wasn't as lit up as I, you know, one would expect a ship to be inside. When I got to the end, when it looked like it kept turning, but I stopped at the end and there was this wall there at the far end of where it turned. And it looked like a regular wall, but it opened. And that's when these beings came through. They're about, I want to say just a tad bit taller than I was at that age. They were grayish in color, very thin. You know, the typical grays, they had large black eyes. But I didn't feel any fear from them. I did not feel like I was in danger of any kind. They asked me a very strange question that even to me was strange as a kid. They said, do you want to? They had this thing on their finger or on their hand. And they said, do you want to put this behind your eye or would you like us to do it? Of course, I'm not going to do anything to my eye. So I said, you do it. But it was so odd because it was like I trusted them to be able to do something like that without having any consequences or without them causing an infection or hurting me badly. I just knew that they knew what they were doing. I don't even trust doctors on earth to do stuff on me half the time. But I did trust them. And the next thing I know after that, I woke up in my room. And shortly after that, I started having really bad nosebleeds. I mean, really, really bad nosebleeds. To the point where my parents were getting towels instead of napkins. And it would happen every day. Every day I would get a nosebleed. It got to the point where I was taken to the hospital to check and see what was going on with my nose. And the doctor said that there seemed like there was something in my nose, but they couldn't remove it because it was embedded in my nose, attached to everything. So it stayed there and they told us what to do when my nose bled. Eventually the nosebleed stopped, thankfully. But it went on for a little while. I kept on having more and more experiences with these beings. And then I started developing abilities that weren't really there before visiting with them. Or at least I wasn't aware of those abilities. I started being able to see spirits and speak with them. I started to be able to know things before they happened and having dreams about things that would later happen, being able to leave my body and things like that. And then, so after that, as I got older, the experiences subsided just a little bit for a little while. And then they kind of started back up in my late teen years. I started having experiences with other beings, other extraterrestrials. Some said they were from Sirius. Some said they were from Tau Ceti. Others from the Pleiades. It was from different places. But mostly they said they were from Sirius. I remember one of the experiences I had. And I want to say that this has to do with contact with these ETs. I don't, to this day, I don't know what the purpose of this was, but I was in my room and I was making my bed. And just as I was going to, you know, straighten out the sheets, as I got up to go into the living room, because my mother was making breakfast, I wanted to go in the living room and wait for breakfast. I suddenly was not in my room anymore. I was somewhere else. I think it was Italy. And it looked to be another time. It looked to be the 1920s. And I could smell things and I could feel the air and I could see the people. And it looked like they could see me too. But the odd part was that they weren't, it's like they weren't affected by the fact that I had different type clothes on. And that to me was a little unusual. Another thing that happened to me was I've been followed by ship for a long time. And my experiences started to involve others that were around me. So I've been friends with someone for 18 years. And when we first became friends, they started to realize that there was something unusual going on with me. Two experiences I had with him were one time we were sitting in the living room watching TV and we had the balcony open. We lived on the third floor in New Carrollton. This was in Maryland. We were watching TV. All the lights were off, except, and the only light that was coming was from the TV. And we had our balcony door open. There was no screen. So, and a blue orb or a blue ball or a blue sphere came through the balcony door and came between us. So the balcony door was kind of behind us and to the left of the sofa. And it came through the balcony from behind us and then flew between us. I was sitting on the left and he was sitting on the right. We could feel the air from the sphere. It wasn't hot, but it was kind of cool. And it just flew between us and it hovered there for a few. I would say about 30 seconds or so, probably more, like probably 30 to 40 seconds. And it hovered there and it lit up the entire living room with this ethereal blue that was so beautiful. It was the most beautiful blue I've ever seen. And it just hovered there. And then it went down through the floor and disappeared. It made no sound. And it was just still hovering there, bouncing. It bounced a little bit up and down and then it disappeared. And I never saw it again. Another time, me and him wanted to go to the store. It was late at night. It was about 1 a.m. But we wanted to go to the store and get some snacks. And as we exited the building, I happened to look up because I feel like I'm being watched. So I happened to look up. And I tell my best friend, I said, hey, look at that. Do you see that? And we both looked up. And it was, we didn't see a ship or any kind of craft, but we saw lights. Now, we don't know if the lights were attached to something, but there were lights that were turning from purple to orange to blue to white to green. And they were just going back and forth, back and forth in a series of lights. And they were so pretty that we just stood there in awe, just staring at them for a while. Finally, we decided to keep walking to the store. It wasn't that far. It was just across the street. And we noticed this thing was moving with us, and it was completely silent. If you didn't look up, you wouldn't even know it was there. But it was so silent, and it followed us across the street. And I told my roommate, I said, I wonder if it's going to stay there while we go in the store. I don't know why that thought came to me, but it was just something I was wondering. And so we went inside the store. And I kid you not, that thing was still there. It was waiting for us to leave the store. We decided to go to another store because they didn't have what we needed in that one. Well, they had some things, but not everything we needed. So we went to another store, and the thing followed us to the other store. And just like the first store, it waited for us to leave and followed us back home. Now, the unusual part, and the part that really gets me to this day, is that we heard from locals in the area that night that there was a really bad robbery, a mugging that day. And to this day, I wonder if they were maybe watching over me or something, because there was no reason. I don't remember being taken that night. I mean, it could just be that I don't remember, but I don't remember being taken. And all I remember was them watching us go to the store, wait for us to go to the store, and then follow us back home. Now, it could be coincidence, but I really don't think it was. And another night, I was sitting in my room. This was when I finally got to Florida. I was sitting in my room, and my husband was asleep next to me. And we were on the third floor. Well, that's more like the second floor, because it was a townhome. This was Riverview, Florida. I think it's between Riverview and Brandon. I was sitting in my room, and I had the blinds open. I had the window open. And again, I got that feeling like I got when I exited my building to walk to the store, that feeling of being watched. So I happened to look out the window, and I saw this very bright orange. It looked like a winged disc. It looked like an orange glowing winged disc, and it was hovering outside my window. Again, no sound whatsoever. And I was trying to wake up my husband, and I kept moving him. I was like, "You gotta see this. You gotta see this. Wake up." Of course, he would not wake up. So then the next morning, I told him about what had happened. And he's quite familiar with UFOs. He's been studying them for a long time. But he told me that usually it sometimes happens that these creatures can put others to sleep if they don't want them to know to see them. So if there's two people, one might be put out or unable to awake so that the other person can have the contact. And so, yeah, I couldn't wake him up. And there was a time when he did experience something unusual. It's when we first met. We were staying at a hotel, and we were on our way to the hotel. And he had a sunroof on his vehicle. And I had my seat back a little bit because it was nighttime. And I was looking at the stars, and I said, "You know what?" Now, I couldn't see it with my physical eye, but I could see it. And I said to him, "You know what? We're being followed by a ship." He tried to look, but he couldn't see it. I was like, "No, it's not. You can't see it with your eyes." I said, "But I know it's there. I know it's there." So once we got to the hotel, I was in the bathroom. He was sitting at one of the tables that were in the room. And we both suddenly started talking about orbs at the same time. He was like, "Do you see these orbs?" And I said, "Do you see these orbs?" There are orbs all over the room. White ones just flying all over the room. They were everywhere. And I don't know if that relates to the UFO ship, but I think it does. I don't know how, but I think it's connected. And so another time I had a sighting was with my daughter. We were over in Florida. We hadn't moved here yet, but we were visiting grandma. And it was about 3 a.m. I don't remember why she and I couldn't sleep, which my daughter is a whole other story. Let's just say she's very special, but it was 3 a.m, we couldn't sleep, and I'm always keeping my windows open, at least the blinds or the curtains, whatever. I like looking outside at night. But I happened to be by the window, and I was looking out the window, and I noticed a lot of times when they're coming or when they're there, I seem to be drawn to the window. Like, I need to be looking out the window. But I went to the window and I was looking out the window and there were these, there were about, oh God, there were so many. I want to say about 14. There was probably more, but that's all I'm remembering right now. There was these 14 like balls of orange spheres and they were in the sky. And I called my daughter over and I said, do you see this? I think she was 6 or 7 at the time. She said, what are those? I was like, well, those are what we call UFOs. And they were so bright and there were so many of them. And I did say, I wonder if these are Chinese lanterns. But when I said that, a few of them disappeared. It was like a light turned off. They disappeared and then reappeared in different spots. Now, I don't know about any Chinese lanterns that could do that, but that's what they did. It's almost like they wanted to say, no, we're not Chinese lanterns. We're here. You know, we're extraterrestrials. This is what you're seeing. No, the story about my daughter, I got pregnant with her in, well, she was born in 2006. And just before she was born, I had a dream where I was having her on a ship. And once I had her in the ship, the dream shifted a little and she was a little older. And she said, come on, mommy, it's time to go into the light. And just as she said that, I woke up. I went into labor with her shortly after. She looked the exact same way as she did in my dream, even down to having a mole in the very same place. She looked exactly like it. And I just thought, this is the strangest thing. Even the mole is in the same place. And that is not my first time where I had what I think are hybrid babies. I had one experience where I was aboard a ship again, and I was taken on this ship, and there was this man there who had what looked like an astronaut suit on, but it was far more, less bulky than ours, way less bulky than ours. And the astronaut helmet kind of looked like a motorcycle helmet. But it was white, and you could tell that it was something an astronaut would wear, though. But his face was kind of pink, is the best that I could describe it. All other features were human, except that his skin looked sort of pink. And he took me into a room where there was like a bassinet of some sort. It didn't look exactly like ours. But it was definitely something that you would put a baby in. There was a baby in there, and he looked completely normal. But he said, through telepathy, that this is your baby. Now, I could see some features that did look like me. So I picked up the baby, and I felt it's odd because I don't remember having this baby, but I felt a bond to the baby. I felt connected to the boy. And so the astronaut guy left. And a little while later, the little baby outstretched his arms to where the doors were and said, Daddy. And I didn't see anyone standing there. So I was like, huh? And just as soon as the baby said that, the door opens and that astronaut being came through. This child knew that he was coming before even I did. So while the baby looked completely normal, I think the baby had abilities far beyond what most children have. And that was the last time that I saw that baby. And to this day, I wonder, you know, did that really happen? Is there really a child out there that I may have given birth to or helped in the process of creating? Now, these are all experiences that I've had throughout my life. They continue to happen, just not as prominent as they used to happen. in my youth. There was a time where we had odd time distortion. My husband and I went to a store that's called Wawa here. It's like a gas station. We went to get a smoothie because I love smoothies. And he saw me drink it. He saw me drink it. And I was drinking it, I remember him mentioning to me that the drive back seemed a little longer than usual. It shouldn't have taken so long because getting there, going to the store shouldn't have been that long. You know, it wasn't that long. It was close by. There's a Wawa everywhere. Almost on every other few blocks, you see a Wawa. They're not that rare of a store. So then we lived fairly close to it. But coming back just seemed to take a far longer. Now, I don't remember if we noticed any difference in the time, but when we got back and he saw me drink the entire smoothie, it doesn't take me long to finish the smoothie. They're my favorite, but I left the smoothie in the car because I forgot the empty cup. But I went inside the house when we got home, and he ended up closing the doors and having a cigarette before coming in. And he said he went back to the vehicle to get something that he forgot in the vehicle. And he said that he went cold because when he looked in the vehicle again, the entire smoothie was back that I had just drank completely. And he brought the cup upstairs and he said to me, "Did you not just drink this?" And I looked at him and I was silent for a few minutes because my mind was having a very hard time understanding exactly what just happened. And this is not the first time that we've had something unusual happen when it had to do with time. Another time we were at a beach and it was about to be sunset. So the sun was starting its descent. And, you know, usually with sunset, and this is going to sound very strange. It's going to sound like we're absolutely that crazy. And to this day, I think I struggle with this experience the most because this is not something you normally see or experience. And you shouldn't be able to because it's just not normal. And so we're at the beach and the sun just drops. It doesn't casually fall beyond the horizon like it usually does. It just dropped. I don't know how else to explain that. It just went below the horizon as fast as it could. I've never in all my years, and I'm 40 now, in all my years, and this must have happened when I was 38. I want to say between 38 and 39 is when it happened. And I've never seen the sun go down so quickly. And I remember this Asian guy being on the beach. And I was trying to take a picture of the sun before it went down so fast. Because I liked the way it looked over the water. You know, the water was doing a little glistening thing. And I wanted to take a picture. But this Asian man kept blocking my shot. So I wasn't able to take a picture. And he looked very unusual for the beach. Now, I know sometimes people just want to walk on the beach. They don't necessarily want to get in the water, but he had on a white dress shirt with a black tie and black pants and black, very shiny shoes. And he kept like getting in the way of my shot. I was like, oh my God, this man does not move. So as I was trying to take that shot and when I finally gave up, my husband went to go get us some food because it was getting late. We're kind of hungry. You know, when you go to the beach, you're doing so much activities and you get hungry. So he went to go get us some food and some drinks. And he said, "I'll be back." And I stayed there on the sand. And this happened at, this was in Florida. And I want to say it happened in Indian Rocks Beach. Yeah, I think that was the beach. And then the man came up to me. The Asian man in the dress shirt and the black pants, the black tie, came up to me and he said, "How do you like Florida?" Which how did he know that I was not from Florida? That's what got me. And I said, oh, it's nice. And he just kept making small talk. I forgot where he said he was from. For the life of me, I cannot remember. But he said he was from somewhere. Said he liked Florida too. With that, he left. Thought that was so unusual. Out of all the people there, he gave up to me. But it was after he left that the sun did what it did. And to this day, I've never seen the sun do that again. Never seen it do it again. And we've cautiously have told some people about that experience. And they just don't understand what I'm trying to say. But and I don't even know how to explain it, really. I don't know how to actually put it into words where people can see what I mean. But
I'm Richard Serrett. Join me on Strange Planet for in-depth conversations with the world's top paranormal investigators, alien abductees, Bigfoot trackers, monster hunters, time travelers, alternative archaeologists, remote viewers, and more.
As I was on the way to Area 51, I was stopping on the side of the road and just taking measurements, and I found this one spot where time slowed down by a fraction of a second. It's not supposed to do that.
From the two big categories, animal mutilations and human abductions, you have to conclude that genetic material is being harvested.
Well, I reached for a rifle, and I turned and looked, and it was already moving away, and it was descending the bluff. There's no way any human could have went down it. It was probably a 75-degree angle straight down, almost.
On Richard Serrett's Strange Planet, we're redefining reality. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Do not go any further. Turn around. Go home.
Another experience I had was quite recent, actually. It happened this year. I boarded a ship. Now, this was an experience. I've had experiences for a long time. So when I had this experience again, I was quite happy because, you know, you grow accustomed to having these experiences. You have them so much that contact with these beings just becomes, you know, they become your friends and you grow accustomed to having them around. So when I woke up in this ship and I boarded this ship, there were other people there, other humans. Now, usually it's just me on a ship, but this time there were other people there. And the ship was fairly big. I think it's the biggest I've been in before. But this was an experience that I had on ship that was very odd because I'd never experienced something like this before. But I was sitting on one of the chairs that was by a window. These windows were very large. But unlike other ships, these windows were open and we were in space. And I was able to put my head out the window. And it didn't really dawn on me that I had my head out the window in space. When it hit me, I was like, wait a minute, I can breathe. Right as soon as I said that, it was like whoever these beings were that were operating the ship wanted to explain to me how this was possible because my mind was struggling because from what we know from science, you're not supposed to be able to breathe in space. But they explained through telepathy that the ship had its own atmosphere. So as long as you were within a certain distance of the ship, you could breathe. So, and this was what I could feel air and I could breathe. The air felt kind of cool. And so as I was looking outside around the ship through the window, I could see that it had a light attached to it that was going around the ship. And I kept remarking how interesting that was, that the ship not only had its own atmosphere, but that it had this rotating light around it that kept going around it. it looked like a little spear that was attached to this unusual kind of metal that was attached to the ship, and it kept going around it. Now, as I was looking out the window, I heard an announcement in my mind, and it said to we had to sit down, and then that's when the windows closed. It felt like the ship went back, almost like when you're a kid and you have those little cars that you play with, and you wind them all the way back, and then they shoot out. That's what it felt like. It felt like it winded all the way back and just shot through something. We ended up, I don't know where we were, but we were on a cliff. Because it was like we, all of a sudden, we were in space, and then all of a sudden we were in a sky of somewhere. I don't know where. I guess it was Earth, because it looked like regular people that were on that planet, like regular humans. So as far as I know, it was Earth, but I mean, it could be somewhere else. But we went from being in the space to being in a sky, hovering in the sky. And then the ship slowly landed and it opened. Now, I know, I do remember people started, the people that were there already started, I don't want to say freaking out, but they were very disturbed by the presence of the ship. And we were told to leave the ship because there was to be some type of training. I don't remember what the training was for. But after that was done, we went back in the ship and it lifted off the ground straight up. It was just straight up and lifted off the ground like a helicopter and then shot out into space, and it did that winding thing again. And then I woke up again in my bed, and I woke up with such a feeling of happiness. I don't know what it was, but this experience particularly, I was very happy. Another one I had before that was something to do with the Earth. They wanted me to restart the Earth because they kept telling me the Earth was dying. I don't remember that experience too well. The only thing I remember was them telling me that the Earth was dying, and they said it so very a matter of fact. They didn't sugarcoat anything. And what I've taken from all these experiences is that we are not alone. And whether you believe in it or not, we aren't the only ones in space. There are beings out there that want to interact with us. They want to be part of our reality. And they want to show us a better way. But a lot in this world is set up to prevent that, to prevent us uniting with the cosmic community. If we did, it is in my belief that a lot of our problems would be solved overnight. And I know that's far-fetched. I know that it's unbelievable to believe that all the problems we have on Earth, and there are so many, could be solved so quickly by just being part of a galactic community. Now, I mean, that's not to discount other people's experiences who may have had negative experiences. I'm pretty sure there are beings out there somewhere that maybe don't have our best interest at heart. But I am under the belief that a majority of them do have our best interest at heart, because they've evolved to the point where they're traversing light years, and they've possibly evolved beyond what we are experiencing on Earth. I believe to be able to evolve to that point, you certainly have to evolve mentally, emotionally. I don't think you could traverse millions of light years and witness all the time the vastness of space and just how infinite everything really is and not evolve mentally. So that said, if we could just open up as a planet about these beings and welcome them and work with them, you know, a lot of suffering on Earth. And I know it's difficult because there's different cultures, there's different beliefs, there's different religions. And I understand that. and a lot of people are not going to be so welcoming to them because, you know, people are set in their ways and their religions, and that's okay too. It's okay to believe what you believe, but the fact is that whatever you believe, something created everything. Whether you believe it's a God, whether you believe, you know, in evolution or nothing at all, something came from something. We're all part of that something that was created somehow. Whether it evolved or whether it was intelligently created, you know, we are, some of us are prone to believe that anything outside of reality could be evil. But to that I say, look at the evils that we do to each other right here on Earth. What could be more evil than what we do to each other right here on this planet? And there are good people on this planet, believe me. There are a lot of good people. And I think we need to start working together and put our differences aside because things be getting worse. And I think it's about time that we just come together. And I know we all say that. We all say that. But maybe we all say that for a reason. Maybe so many people keep saying it. And so many contactees keep saying it. And maybe there's a reason. Maybe we keep feeling this urge to say this because of its urgency.
I'm enticed to agree with you there. I think if we was to connect with those outside of the Earth, things would change for us on this planet for sure. There are so much problems on this planet, and I think we're in like a perpetual division.
Mm-hmm.
This is deliberate. We're constantly being divided in one form or another.
Yeah.
And it's deliberate. It is 100% deliberate. And I think if more people realize that the people which are actually dividing us are the problem,
mm-hmm.
Everyone will find, you know, they have a lot more in common. And I think if we were given the opportunity to connect with those outside of the planet, then things will be easier. I'm not saying all our problems will be solved, but things will be a lot easier.
Yeah, and I completely agree.
It's just annoying because it seems every year there's a new problem that's being created.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is. And I feel like there's always something to divide us. Every year something pops up where there's more stuff to divide us than bring us together. And all the time I'm like, oh my goodness, what now?
Yeah, it's done deliberately so we can't progress forward.
Yeah, I completely agree with that.
Yeah, that's the reason. Interesting stuff, Rosie. Let's just go back to the beginning where you were saying about these pods. Now, would you wake up in these pods every time?
No, that was the only time I woke up in those pods for some reason. The other time, I was just there in the shed.
Okay, was it a mixture of male and female in these pods?
Yeah, there was. I don't remember if they were all adults or my age, but there definitely was a mixture of male and female.
And was there a lot of these pods?
Don't know how to explain how long the corridor was. It was fairly long, and I want to say almost, I know we all always compare it to this, but it was like a football field. And there were the pods were all down the corridor until the end.
Okay. And was there anyone else walking around? The only people you saw were actually in these pods?
Yes. It seems like I was the only one that came out. I don't know if they had come out earlier or not. It seemed like they were all in the pod and I was out of it.
And the beings that you saw, the grey in colour, and you saw the man with the pink face in a spacesuit, was there any other being types that you remember seeing?
I've had encounters with, the Tau-Cetian. I've had encounters with a Tau-Cetian, but he was kind of either very tan or very orange. He almost reminded me of like indigenous people. They had like a red, tan kind of skin colour, but his hair was very long and very white.
When this being said, do you want us to put this behind your eye or would you like to do it? Did you see the object that he had in their hand?
So, yeah, it was kind of opaque and round. It was small. I don't know what it looked like, but yeah, it was just small, round, and kind of opaque in color.
Okay, and you went to the doctor because of nosebleeds?
Mm-hmm.
And they nosebleeding lasted for a while?
Yeah, it lasted, I think I went through it for a year or so. And as the year progressed, it got progressively less, it started bleeding less and less.
And did you have any symptoms as well as a nosebleed?
No, it was just, it was just my nosebleed.
So no headaches or anything like that?
No.
Okay. And they took x-rays, did they?
Yeah.
But established that they, couldn't be removed because it was right in there.
Yeah. The doctor quite literally said, if we remove this from your nose, you could bleed to death.
Best to leave that in.
Yeah. No, since I don't bleed anymore, I wonder if it's still in there or not.
And did the being tell you why he was going to give it to you?
They told me it helped, and I don't know why they said this. These creatures sometimes can be very odd. They're very strange beings, but they said it helps us to see what you see. Which, as I got older, I found that unusual because I feel like they can see through time anyway. But hey, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they can't. But that's what they said to me.
I mean, yeah, you hear different things with these implants. Some people say it's this tracking. I don't really think it's a tracker of sorts. I think it's there to aid, whether it's aid you or aid them, in the way of maybe if you're having some kind of health problems, could be there to help you in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if, like you've just said, so they can see what you can see. So whether that's to do with, I wouldn't say so much surveillance, but more to do with learning.
Mm-hmm.
Learning from the eyes of a human, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't think they're interested in the ingredients of your salad, but it could be people react with each other. And in turn, they might learn how to, react with humans, I guess. I don't know. There could be many reasons why they'd want to do that.
Mm-hmm. I would guess it's the same way as we put there are people who study and research animals. I'm not calling us animals, but we are scientifically. But there are people who study animals who want to learn about the animal's habitat. They put cameras on them so we can see what the animal's doing and how they're living and how the environment affects them and things like that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah, no, we are definitely animals. but yeah, you're right. We do it to dolphins and whales, and we do it to birds to see them their migration mm-hmm. patterns. So yeah, absolutely. Good stuff, Rosie. The sun is interesting. Now we all know, in some parts of the world, we can go to the beach and the sun will look like it's going, quite fast. But you're saying that this shot down. We're not talking like the usual sunsets.
No, this is how I describe this experience. I describe it as, there's how some, like, opinion boxes, you take a little card and you put it down the little slot, and the card is just shot through the little slot. That's how fast the sun went down. It was just dropped.
Okay, gotcha. I had the idea in my head, in the horror movies, like the vampire movies, that time when it's going from day to night. Like remember in the Lost Boys, they had mm-hmm. that musical interlude where it was, the guys were preparing for the night and then the vampires were just starting to wake up and you had the sun that seemed to go down super quick. that's what I envisioned.
Yeah, it went down like that. Like it was so fast. I've never seen the sun do that before.
And you were filming it. You had the Asian guy that was walking up and down the beach and he was getting in the way and you were trying to film the sunset and it shot down after you had your interaction with this guy on the beach.
Yes. And, I was trying to take pictures, kept getting in the way and I was getting frustrated. And he came up to me and he made that small talk. And it was so unusual because there were so many people at the beach at that time.
And it definitely stands out, this one. We meet people every, all the time. But just now and again, you'll meet someone which, you think, this is a bit odd. This is different.
Mm-hmm. As soon as he made those little small talks, and my husband came back, and we were sitting on the sand, eating our food, and that's when we noticed the sun do what it did, and it boggled our mind. We couldn't believe it.
It's like it was some kind of time distortion. And then when, you went out to the gas station to get the smoothie.
Yeah, just like that. And, to have drank the smoothie. I drank that smoothie. I know I drank that smoothie. And I finished it completely. And then to see it filled all the way back up to the top. Man, that sent a chill down my spine. I'm not going to lie.
I'm the same. When I have something like a smoothie in my hand or a big gulp, if I've got that in my hand, I will drink all of it. It will be gone. The question is, did you drink it a second time?
I did.
And was it all melted, or was it in the same state as when you got it?
It was in exactly the same state as when I got it. It was like it was freshly made. And I drank it because I thought, you know, maybe my mind was trying to make sense of it. And I thought, maybe I didn't drink it. Maybe I'm wrong. But both me and my husband remember me drinking it completely.
Because it was something that you usually would do.
Yes. I don't let my smoothies sit around, especially because, you know, if you've had a smoothie before, it kind of separates and gets kind of watery and it's just gross.
Yeah, you got it. Good stuff. Interesting. And have you done that same trip again and no strange situations?
Well, we don't live there anymore, so we don't really go around that area anymore. But I don't have weird time anomalies anymore. I mean, I've had a lifelong of experiences. There's a lot more. I've had a lot more experiences, and I should have written everything down in order before the show. But you know, we've had to move suddenly, so we've been focused on finding housing, which so it's almost incredible that we did find it. But we're still in the moving process. So my brain has been kind of scattered.
Yeah, I can certainly relate to that. Oh, that's good news. That's good. So you're moving in for the new year.
Yes.
New year, fresh start.
Oh, yes. I'm ready for it.
Good stuff.
It's been really nice being on this show. I really appreciate you having me on here and giving me a chance to talk about all my strangeness.
Oh, you're more than welcome. And that's what it's all about. Rosie, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that all for our listeners.
Thank you. And thank you for having me too.
Take care. Good luck with the move.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye for now. That is all for this week. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website at ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Rosie for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.